May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Greetings and welcome to Attention Please. Attention Please airs each Monday on KPTZ and again on Saturday, presented by hosts including Larry Stein, Steve Evans, occasional guest hosts, and myself, Phil Andrus. We bring Attention Please to KPTZ and to you to keep all of us up to date on activities and organizations which do the good work of strengthening our community and adding to its resilience. The topic of this week's Attention Please is the Jefferson County Master Gardeners Foundation's annual, or usually annual, Yard and Garden Lecture Series. And with me are two women who help curate the topics and in other ways organize the series, Suzanne Eggleston and Candace Gaughan. Both are active members of the Jefferson County Master Gardeners and the Foundation. We hear first from Suzanne.
Last year, we did not have an event.
You canceled it entirely.
We did.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I don't remember that, but I believe you're telling me the truth. When did you decide that you would need to remain virtual this year? Did you originally contemplate maybe being able to have an event in a building with people with you?
We did. That was our hope, that we were going to be able to get back together. One of the major things of this event, lecture series, is getting the community involved with the foundation, all that we do, but then giving continuing education to our populace in Jefferson County. And we feel like we can do that best when we're all in the same room together, but we just didn't feel like it was going to be safe or safe enough to do it. So we decided to go all virtual and continue on with the intent of the series, which is to educate our county in all things gardening.
And that is the voice of Candace Gaughan. Did you decide to go all virtual before Omicron?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We were following the guidance of Washington State University. They kind of govern the Master Gardener Foundation. I don't know if that's appropriate to say, but we look to the Extension Service of Washington State University for guidance. And Washington State University was saying that if you can meet virtually, you should. So we are just adhering to their guidance for this year.
And thank goodness we did, because given the situation presently, we would have had to have canceled. And now we're fully prepared to do it online. And I think it's going to be a great series.
And that was a wise decision. And I was wondering how that had worked out for you. What option is there for those whose computer skills or computer hardware are not up to an online virtual lecture series?
We have, for those who buy a series ticket, we will be recording all of our lectures and they will be available for 30 days from the date of the lecture for review or rewatching something that you missed. And hopefully people who are interested in it could find a place where their recordings could come through. They could go to the library or they could go to another place where there is connectivity for them and see all the lectures.
Mm-hmm. A good idea too, which Suzanne, it looks like you have something to say about that.
I just want to add that for people who do buy tickets and register, I think it's a very simple process to watch the webinar live.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
They'll be given a link and it'll just be as simple as clicking the link. We'll provide them with instructions if necessary, of how to download the Zoom app, and they can be ready and participate in the live webinar.
And that's grand for you, and it's grand for Candace as long as she isn't at home. And it's grand for me because I do get decent internet service not terribly far from where Candace's home is, but there are people who do not have either the skill or the equipment or the confidence, but they do have the library, and that's an important thing for them to know. And you have already answered one of my questions, and that is, which online platform are you using? And it is Zoom, as we are right now, and I use it rather frequently with KPTZ, and this is not an endorsement. They don't pay me to say this, but I do find it quite easy to use as well. So distinguish between the Master Gardeners Foundation and the Master Gardeners, and you two are both involved with each of them. I know that. But nevertheless, distinguish so that we know what we're talking about.
Master Gardener Foundation, or Master Gardeners, is a part of the extension program sponsored through WSU. And it is in our state, a statewide, but the Master Gardener program actually is a national program done through extensions in all the states for land grant universities. They are our overseer, they're our mothership. They set policy, they set standards, guidelines for us to operate from. The foundation is a supporting group of master gardeners who do fundraising, who do outreach. We do a lot of teaching. We present our plant sale. You know, those are kind of fundraising things. And the Garden Lecture Series was begun many, many years ago as a community outreach arm of that. Of that mandate from WSU to educate our public. So the foundation is something of a social group, but mainly we're deadly serious about gardening and living up to the standards that WSU has outlined for us.
So deadly serious, but no nightshade.
No nightshade, no.
Okay, the proceeds, you'll, needless to say, have to pay your expenses, and your expenses will include your speakers, your presenters. And after you have covered your expenses, what will the proceeds go to?
The foundation provides monetary support to WSU. So we give 75% of our proceeds that we get from things like the lecture series to WSU after we cover our own expense base. And then we also have a scholarship program and a grant program that we provide. So the grant program has funded things like Food and Bank, Farm and Gardens. Many, many schools apply to us. Every year we give around $2,500 back to the community in terms of scholarships. So.
I just want to interject that There's been an email recently about the scholarship program, and I've been asked to remove that from the website.
Oh,
so don't mention scholarships.
I haven't heard. Well, I've heard a word, and it will be removed. So some of the particulars, we'll mention these twice at the beginning. Well, at right now anyway, and then at the end of our 25 minutes together, the particulars are: when does the series begin, and what hours of which day?
You take it.
Okay, so the series is going to begin it's going to happen on Saturdays. It'll start on January 8th, and it will end on February 12th. It will run from 10 a.m. to noon. And during that time, a speaker will give a 90-minute presentation, and then there'll be a break, and there'll also be the opportunity for attendees to ask questions of our speakers.
Okay, so let's go one by one through the topics and the speakers. Linda Gilkison, planning your 12-month garden.
Linda comes from British Columbia, and she is one of our most renowned speakers in this series. And we'd like to start out with with somebody that has a lot of punch and say through the, to get us really going off on a very professional foot. And you want to tell about her bio?
Yeah, Linda is, she's written several books, including Backyard Bounty, the complete guide to year-round organic gardening in the Pacific Northwest. She's also a pretty well-known entomologist. She has a PhD from McGill University and has filled a variety of roles for the Canadian government, as well as different garden clubs in her community. She lives on Salt Spring Island in British Columbia. She even won the Queen's Jubilee Medal in 2003. So she's been a gardener for, I think, 30 plus years, and is a really compelling speaker.
And do you know if her specialty is ornamentals or vegetables or a combination of the two?
I would say she is more of a vegetable gardener, and she's very knowledgeable about pollinators as well. She's going to be talking about planning your 12-month garden. She says that she can harvest something fresh from her garden every day of the year. And she does that in British Columbia, which I think is remarkable. So she's going to talk about what is Carrot Day? Why is it a wasted opportunity to plant traditional cover crops? Things of that nature.
It's interesting because you have another presenter coming later to talk about cover crops. Nevertheless, I will say a couple of things about that. One is probably 30 years ago, maybe closer to 40, I contributed to a book called Winter Gardening in the Pacific Northwest. The author was Belinda Colebrook. And yep. The book is out there somewhere still. People every now and again will ask me about it. So something we can do in our garden, we have a long bed of winter greens, which we're going to have to cover up, not with a crop, but with a cover, probably Thursday, I think. And this is Thursday before this conversation is on the air, but we have some cold weather coming and maybe some snow. And we have garlic just barely peeping up out of the soil. And what do you two have in your gardens for the winter?
Garlic is planted, although it's not coming up. Broccoli is well established and probably won't be producing much till spring, but it will be producing in spring. Chard, kale, that's mainly it for me. How about you?
I have carrots growing. I have beets, turnips, all of which I'll be covering up with leaves. And that is a recommendation from Linda, by the way. I subscribe to her email list and she sends them out at just the right time. So I just got the email. She's recommending I cover up these tender plants with leaves and mulch to help them make it through the cold snap. I also have broccoli. I even have some Brussels sprouts out there. Lots of arugula.
Apples.
I am still picking apples. My Fujis are, it's ridiculous. They're still ripening, but I think most of those will be picked this week.
Well, for the sake of the people in our community who are hungry, we will not give our addresses so that we won't have too many people foraging in our gardens. Let's go to the next. And the next is Bess Bronstein, how to successfully prune any shrub.
That's right. Bess is a educator. She's a horticultural consultant and an arborist. And she is based in Kingston, Washington. And she has over 35 years of experience in arboriculture, if I've pronounced that correctly.
So.
Arboriculture. You don't say that every day. Landscape management and garden design. She was also an instructor for Edmonds College Horticultural Program for 28 years.
And is she going to be specializing, again, same question, ornamentals or berries and fruit as well?
I think this is landscape material. You know, shrubs usually are more landscapeual than edible. So I would think so. Bess first came to my attention when I took a plant amnesty pruning class that was a 12-week class. And she and Christina Pfeiffer, who is another one of our speakers, did all the pruning lectures for that, that organization. And it was a wonderful thing. This woman and Christina also just really know what they're talking about. And I was most impressed and I'm really happy that she's decided to join us for this series.
Yeah, she's a really engaging speaker.
And I bet they all are. In fact, Eric Lee hyphen in there, Mader, and there's two dots over the A. How do you pronounce his name?
Mader.
Very well.
Eric Lee Mader.
Bring back the pollinators.
So Eric is very active in the Xerxes Society, which is the bee society, which many people don't know that is based in Port Townsend. He is one of the foremost pollinator experts in our community, I believe. I don't know everybody around, but he certainly knows what he's talking about when it comes to pollinators, which not only include bees, but many other insects. And he is going to talk to us about maintaining our pollinator communities and how to do that at home so that we'll make sure that we have a sustainable population of pollinators for many generations to come.
And his title again, Bring Back the Pollinators. Do we have reason to believe that we have lost pollinators in this community?
We certainly do. We certainly do. Not only through through timber harvests and, you know, land clearing for housing and things like that. But just with the neonicotinoids and other chemicals that are happening around, we are losing pollinators, and we need to continue to create a biodiverse gardens and natural areas for them. And he's going to tell us how to do that.
And we also can make homes for them.
Yes,
thinking
indeed.
Of orchard mason bees.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Christina Pfeiffer, what on earth taking care of garden soils?
Yeah, Christina is an author, she's an educator, and she's a consultant. And she has spent a lot of time working in public gardens, horticulture education, and consulting. She's also a regular speaker at many local garden groups and public programs, including the University of Washington's Botanic Gardens. And she speaks a lot to master gardener groups like us. So she is a certified arborist, and she's also a book author. She wrote Pacific Northwest Month by Month Gardening, What to Do Each Month to Have a Beautiful Garden All Year.
And that's a book that she co-authored with Mary Robeson, who is another famous master gardener in Jefferson County, who is a wonderful resource and a mighty force in the gardening community in the Pacific Northwest. So those two collaborated. And if nothing else, having Mary endorse Christina is quite the local honor to have on her there.
I believe Mary founded our demo park, correct?
She did.
Yeah,
she did.
So our demo park downtown Port Townsend by the Cup, Mary established that.
And founded it. We know that dirt isn't just dirt, and that it has great multitudes of little critters crawling around, which are very much necessary to make dirt work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then she'll talk about that, I bet.
You will.
And then we have a neighbor of ours, as Candace is in mine anyway, Dave Seabrook.
Oh, Dave.
Dave. Mm-hmm. Dave is has come to the community, what, maybe 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago? He and his wife, Karen, are indeed neighbors of ours. And he has been very involved in the fire district. He came to us as a retired fire district somebody from Southern Washington. Sorry, I don't have that quite.
Vancouver.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he's now a commissioner of the fire district here, fire district number one, and a very active member of the local Climate Action and Conservation Futures Committee. So he volunteers with the Jefferson County Emergency Management, and I know he's very involved in food security.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to talk to us about what we can do to make sure that Jefferson County has a secure food source, that it's a sustainable food growing region. He has a bachelor's degree in earth sciences and a master's in public administration from WSU. So he does a lot of work in local farms and with Food Bank Farm and Gardens, which his wife Karen is very involved in. And he's going to be talking to us about growing community food system resilience and for uncertain times. So he's mm-hmm. going to touch on some climate change and how that'll affect our gardens, what we can do as local gardeners to mitigate that in our production. What else?
Well, one thing that Dave is going to do is he's very interested in having a dialogue with the people who are attending the Zoom lecture that he's going to be giving. So he really is hoping that together we can come up with some ideas about how gardeners can take the lead in modifying and strengthening our community's food production in very practical ways.
And I'll actually add a couple of comments to that. One is uncertain times, I think, also include pandemic times. Now, we mm-hmm. assume that there will be farmers in California, there will be truck drivers to bring the food from California here, that the pandemic will not disrupt that which is most essential in our lives, and that is having food to eat. But I don't think we can assume those things. Having crops right here in our community and a complete network, a food network, is really important. And I want to give credit to people who really brought that to, I think, our community's attention at least the last 10 years, Judy Alexander, notably, most notably Judy Alexander, Al Cairns, Local 2020, a number of organizations and people have been talking about this for quite a while. And at one point, it really seemed esoteric. It seemed like it was something way out there, but it isn't way out there.
No, it's not. Dave works with Al and Judy, and is right in the, you know, right in the center of Local 2020 and the whole movement. So he's really going to be able to fill us in on what we all need to do, how we can participate in it in a real practical way.
Mm-hmm. And your last presentation by Mr. James Cassidy, mulches and crop rotations.
Yeah, what's interesting about James is he is an Oregon State University professor, but that wasn't his first profession. He was in the music industry for 35 years. I thought that was interesting, but he's a instructor of soil science and has been for 15 years, and he is really passionate about soil. He spoke at the State Master Gardener Foundation virtual series that was. Did that take place in October? That was in October.
October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people raved about his lecture. So that's why we pursued him for our own lecture series, is because he was such an engaging, passionate speaker. And he's very passionate about building soil. He's aware that most people have just the vaguest of ideas of the importance of soil. And he says, the reason you are alive, what nutrients are, how soil stores water and nutrients. He's going to cover all the fundamentals of soil.
Very well. And this show is not Cats in Our Laps. It is apparently Cats on Candace's left shoulder.
Yes.
The Zoom image that I'm working with has a tortoiseshell cat who may now be moving her way to your lap. It's quite to watch this. Here she comes. You better be ready for her. So some general questions before we have to say goodbye. How will attendees ask questions?
There's a Q&A option through Zoom, and they will probably write their question in the chat box, and then a moderator will read it to the instructor. Some instructors like to take questions directly, but usually that's the way that it's done.
So yeah, I attended a similar kind of event about big cats in the forest, and it was supposed to be 30 minutes long. And it was 90 minutes long because of all the questions submitted. The presenter kept taking questions, and the question and answer process, just like it will for you folks, worked marvelously. I don't imagine you're going to want to stick around for 90 minutes. Oh, you will have to, because this is a 2-hour. Yes, indeed you will. Whom do we have to thank on your technical team? This is important.
Well, the Master Gardener Program Coordinator, Bridget Gregg, she's a Washington State University employee. She is going to be managing the technical aspects of Zoom. She's become quite an expert since the pandemic to ensure that our programs continue. So she'll be leading the team for technical issues. And we are going to have Julia Cords also as her backup. She's another Master Gardener.
Does one need to pay for and attend all six, or can one do it a la carte?
One can indeed do it a la carte. We didn't tell your audience how to buy tickets or how much the tickets were. And you can buy the individual tickets for $12 a session, or you can buy the series of six lectures for $60. And they're available at jcmgf.org, which stands for Jefferson County Master Gardener Foundation, in case you can't remember those initials, or through Brown Paper Tickets, just through the Yard and Garden Lecture Series. Search that and you'll find it at Brown Paper Tickets.
And we've already established that your lectures will be recorded and will be available for 30 days at the library or anywhere else a person can find a computer. So a handy thing for everyone. Will they need to get in touch with you? Will they need to be master gardeners themselves? Or can anyone access the series either online as it's happening or later on by recording?
anybody would love to have the whole community come. Typically we have about, the majority of people that come are, when we're in person, are from our community. The Master Gardeners, of course, always come, but we're always volunteering. So the major ticket sales come from our greater community here. And we're really welcoming people from across the state this year instead of across the nation because of the virtual thing. So you don't need to be a master gardener. The while scientifically based, all of our lectures are very accessible information for people who might be new to gardening. They might be new to concepts of how alive soil is or what our pollinator insecurities are or food. You don't have to be an expert in any of this to have it be interesting and useful information for you.
So one advantage of the fact that the series is virtual is I would assume there is no deadline, that a person can sign up probably right up to the last minute, but I may be wrong about that. Please correct me if I am.
We'd like everybody to sign up at least an hour before so that we can get them the links correctly for whatever lecture they sign up for. But probably if somebody came in right at the last minute, they'd be let in the Zoom.
The fire marshal, in this case, maybe Dave Seabrook. We don't have to worry about him saying, no, I'm sorry, the room has exceeded its capacity. This room is infinite.
It's true. So we have run into that problem when we've been up at the community center in past years. And luckily, we won't have to face that this year.
Okay, so you have gone over already, but I'm going to ask you to repeat what the cost is for the series individually, and also how does one register?
Tickets are $60 for the entire series, $12 for individual tickets. You can get your tickets at jcmgf.org or on brown paper tickets.
I think that's it.
Why don't we finish up? Well, not quite finish up. Why don't we finish up with the dates and the times of the day?
The lecture series is on 6 consecutive Saturdays, starting January 8th, running through February 12th. And they'll take place from 10 until 12 in the morning, or till noon.
And anybody who did not get any of this information and wants to contact the Master Gardeners and didn't get all those letters in their name, in their URL or whatever, can write to me easy here at cats@kptz.org. My guests have been of the Jefferson County Master Gardeners Foundation, Candace Gaughan and Suzanne Eggleston. And I thank you very much for being with me on Attention, Please.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
And this has been Attention, Please. And you can hear this show again if you want to pick up more information about the series today, Monday, January 3rd at 5 o'clock. And I'm not calculating the date in my head very well, but Saturday of this very same week at noon. And thank you both again. And we'll see you in the garden.
Thanks, Phil. Bye.
And my name is Phil Andrus.
Inch by inch, row by row. Gonna make this garden grow. Gonna mulch it deep and low. Gonna make it fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row. Please bless these seeds I sow. Please keep them safe below till the rains come tumbling down.